Welcome to Realtors Roulette. Join Nicole, Alicia, and John as they uncover untold stories, insider tips, and hidden truths about real estate. Get ready to enjoy this episode coming to you from the beautiful Qu'Appel Valley in Saskatchewan.
Morning, everybody. It's Team Authentic. John and Nicole here with Jamie Fiesel with Buyer's Choice Home Inspection. Here today to talk about home inspections and the role that a home inspector plays in a real estate transaction. Morning, Jamie. Thanks for coming in today.
Morning, guys. Thanks for having me.
So tell us, and we've been through it, but tell the people out there that are looking to hire a home inspector what you do.
Well, you know, that's a good question because a lot of people have no idea why a home inspection should even go be part of the process. First of all, the realtor, if you pick a good realtor, they're going to have the names of the good home inspectors. And we do not have licensing in Saskatchewan. Anybody can be a home inspector, and that gives us a bad name. You should be licensed, you should be bonded, you should have 400 hours online of training to be a proper home inspector, to be licensed. But you can get whoever you want. You can have your uncle come out, which is not really helping as far as we're concerned as a home inspector. The biggest misconception is pass-fail. I hear all the time, did I pass? Did I fail? To me, there is no pass-fail. I am there to give information. I am part of the transaction, part of the process of buying or selling a house. And usually the last part. Everyone else before me, the last guy who comes in, the only guy that can ruin it will be the home inspector because it might not pass. But there is no pass-fail. I feel when I became a home inspector, what I did enjoy is the walkthrough process. I am part of the information. For most people, buying a house will be the biggest investment they will make in their lifetime.
Agreed.
And so it's a pretty important process, and I'm part of the end result of information giving them on this purchase. And it doesn't have to be only the bad things. It can be the good things. It can be they need to be informed about their purchase, and I'm part of that process, and I really enjoy that part.
So what are kind of like the key aspects or the things that you're looking for in the home? You're normally there for approximately 3 hours. What are you going over in that 3 hours?
Now, for most of us that are licensed, we do have a comprehensive software system, and it's really a to-do list. And you start at the start and you go through everything.
So walk us through that and what does it look
like? Yeah, there is nothing untouched. So you guys know we've worked together. I always start outside. And it starts out the grounds, the driveway, the condition of the exterior of the home, the roof. But one of the major things, and I know you guys have heard me talk about it all the time, is drainage. If you have good drainage in a house, you will have less problems with your foundation. You'll have less problems with your walls, your concrete. Doesn't matter if it's concrete, wood, or whatever. Drainage, which includes downspouts and everything, it is overlooked so many times, and it is so important. And it's easy for me to explain, mediation for those sort of things to help get that water away from the house. The other thing is the overall maintenance of the house is very important. And, you know, that is downspouts. That is there siding falling off? Is there, and although those might not be big things, as a home inspector, my $450-ish range that we all charge, I expect to save that client that money by the time I'm done my home inspection. If they close up those holes that I find, if they get drainage away from the house, that'll save them well over $450 in the end. So we start outside, then we move inside. Some of the major areas inside is structure. I mean, that is going to be some of the large costs. Anyone can just fix, you know, paint or change carpet or whatever, but if you're looking at a structural issue, maybe walls that have a horizontal crack that has some displacement, those are things, everything can be fixed.
Explain to me, Jamie, just for the listeners out there and the viewers on YouTube, tell me what a horizontal crack is or what displacement actually is.
Okay, so we live in Saskatchewan, especially around Regina. You will not go to a home without a crack in the concrete walls. And it's normal, and everyone seems to panic about it. A vertical crack, a crack off a window, is very common. Any crack without displacement is usually more, it's not a structural issue. What we don't like to see is the long horizontal cracks with displacement, which means we've got movement, we've got bowing, we've got a crack that's got an inch of displacement. That's an issue that has to be resolved. But it can be. I think one of the crazy things, people like the word asbestos. You hear asbestos, and oh my gosh, can't buy the house. A crack in the basement, I can't buy the house. Well, at my mom and dad's house, we did it ourselves. We braced the walls. All you do is dig a hole, put an I-beam, attach it to the joist, and go along the wall. You can do it yourself, and it was not a big cost. So those type of cracks, that's why it's better to have someone who knows what they're looking at to look at that, to, first of all, inform, and to give you options to mediate if it is a problem.
Right.
And kind of when we're touching base on that, because we do a lot of rural stuff, and we see a lot of block basements and wood basements, maybe just elaborate a little bit on that, because we do get a lot of people that have been looking in the city where maybe the soil quality isn't the same as out here, and they're like, oh no, it's a wood basement, I don't want to look at it. Like, maybe just elaborate a little bit on that and cinder block basement.
That's a great question, because just like the word asbestos, to me, a wood basement, a concrete basement, a cinder block basement, it doesn't matter what it was built. It was built for a reason. It's how it's maintained and drainage. If you put water against a concrete wall, concrete is porous. It's coming through. You put it against a wood wall or a cindercrete wall, it doesn't matter. It's coming through. You keep water away, the wood will stay dry, the cindercrete block will never leak, and the cement wall will never leak. To me, they're all different. If you go to some of the newer areas on a sand base, they're putting wood basements in brand new houses now because it's acceptable. And if you keep drainage away in a sand basement, a sand soil, you're not going to have that sort of pressure against your walls like you would in like Regina clay.
Right.
So it's not about what type of basement wall you have. It's how it's maintained, keeping the drainage away. Is the structure, was it done properly? Those are much more key issues than the type of basement.
Right.
And you always, like, at the end of your inspections, you kind of have, like, your honey-do list. So, like, what, explain to us what that is and kind of, on your inspections.
Yeah, so, and that gets back to that pass or fail thing. I love my walkthroughs. I think they're the most important part of a home inspection when the person's available for it. Because now you are with them, informing them about what I found in this house. And it includes all my issue, all my list, what I call the honey-do list. And on that list, it's not only what's wrong, it's also what's good. It's also things you look for in the structure. I point out that's a laminate beam that was done right, because sometimes there's been work done to the house since it was new. I like to inform them of those things as well, not just, okay, we do have an issue here where we have to look at it, or, you know, the furnace is a little dirty, we should maybe look at it getting serviced. That's all part of that honey-do list. And that just, 80% of the houses we go into probably could have their furnace, if it's older, serviced. That is not a bad thing. That is an information thing.
Right.
So I love going through my, as Nicole calls it, I call it my honey-do list, because I think it's important for that person to be informed on their purchase and informed on going forward, how do they protect that investment.
Right.
So I know your Buyer's Choice also offers a recall program on the appliances. So can you kind of touch base on that as well, if they do choose you to do an inspection, exactly what that is?
Yes. So a lot of the good home inspection businesses used to have a warranty on the appliances. None of us do anymore, because I think it was becoming abused. But what we do is have a recall check. So I send away all the appliances in the home for what's called a recall check. If there was ever a recall on any of those appliances, that person will be notified. So they maybe get a free part, or, you know, because that person would never know otherwise. So
right.
We do send that away still as a service, although it used to be a one-year warranty on something that was newer than 10 years, and everyone's gone away from that just because it just wasn't working out. But we do send them away for recall check. We do check the appliances. The only thing is, we do not run the dishwasher usually on a whole cycle.
Yeah.
We don't run the dryer and actually dry clothes. We make sure it's got heat and it works and everything. And that is one of the things. It's always important to check those appliances before you take possession.
Right.
Because I'm there sometimes a month, 2 months before possession, and those appliances are being used. So really, when I do the inspection, it's about that day. That's why I think the recall check is just a little perk we do to give them if they can get a free part. And we also give them ideas on the age and if it needs, like HVAC, if it maybe needs servicing, to prolong the life of those appliances.
Just to roll back, Jamie, you said just in your last statement there, and I know we're seeing it maybe more so than previously. Question is, if they come, if they attend to choose the walk through, like I know myself as a agent in the market, I say it's absolutely crucial that they attend the walkthrough. What percentage of people are you seeing not, in the digital age, not attend a walkthrough? Like, is it more, are you seeing more people not attending walkthroughs? And is it, like, do you feel it's beneficial to attend?
I really like it myself. I'm a people person, and I like to verbally give that message on the information of that house to make them feel. Our motto is comfort, assist, protect, you know, all part of that transaction to give them comfort in what they're buying, you know, give them information about that house and assist in that transaction. I think the walkthrough is an integral part of that.
Yeah.
And also they can ask questions. We're right there and they'll, you know, we show them where the water shutoff is.
Yeah.
That isn't, there's nothing wrong with it, but if they move in the house and the toilet runs on and they can't shut off the house water, that's an important thing. So
right.
I like to show them that through the walkthrough and inform them about their house. What I'm finding lately is, and I'm sure you guys would know, there's a lot more out of province buyers lately, and they cannot be here to attend. So what we do in those cases is I try to send them the report, and then we touch base on the phone, and we go over, because my report is 50 pages long to me,
it's
the honey-do list is all at the front, easy to read.
Yeah.
And then we can go over that list on the phone and any other pertinent information I think is necessary.
Right.
So we still do a walkthrough, but it's today's world, the virtual walkthrough.
Right. In that report, like, you also provide like pictures and descriptions and what's all entailed in a report?
So that is a good question, because a lot of people complain because it's 50 pages. Why do you need all these pictures? Why do you need the pictures of every room? Why do you... Because that is the condition of the home the day I did the inspection, and the day then really that you're buying the house, that day or a few days after when conditions are lifted. And I think it's very important, because I even heard before in some of the conversations, sometimes when you go to move in, what happened to this house?
Yeah.
It was so nice. Well, if they were moving out and they put the couch through a wall, I will have a picture of that wall before they put the couch through the wall, and it probably should be put back the way it was when they were buying the house. So it is important, all these pictures. 90% of the time they are mundane. But I think it's also, we've seen instances where we take pictures of the kitchen and the stove and the fridge, nice new gas stove, and they move out and there's an old 25-year-old white fridge there. Or, you know, so you can go back and say, no, well, this is what I was buying. So that, all those pictures and every room view, and it is for the client, because that is what they're purchasing. And they made an offer on that house in the condition it is that day. So although it is sometimes, yes, I don't know how many people actually read all 50 pages of the report, but it's important. Also, there's a lot of information in there for mortgage brokers, for insurance. So those reports aren't just for information. It's used to get their insurance and help with the mortgage brokers, because and mortgage lenders, they have questions about the house or about the finance.
Right.
Yeah, and that's a good point. I tell lots of buyers, just send your home inspection to the insurance company and everything should be in there.
It should, and I'm actually to the point now, because some of the insurance companies have really detailed questions and the client just can't answer. So one of my services, I said, if you have questions you can't answer, tell them to call me.
Yeah.
Such as electric, and it's come up a lot here in the last year, I know, for electrical supply.
Yes.
Like, what are electrical services?
So, like, yeah, like, kind of touch base on, like, as we're dealing with, obviously, 70-amp services right now and aluminum wiring, where we're, insurance is saying, hey, maybe we'll do it, maybe we won't, depending, you know, on the property.
So those are two key things. You know, when we talk about some of the important aspects, drainage, I always say structure and HVAC and electrical. And electrical's big, especially in the rural areas. Now we see a lot of 70 amps. The 60 amp, you won't get insurance. It has to be replaced. The 70 is, giving it a year, maybe two, and it's going to be where 60 was, and it's going to have to be replaced. That is not a $100,000 problem, but it has to be something we have to look
right
at. So the part of my inspection, I actually take apart, you know, the electrical box, take the cover off, and look for two things, aluminum wiring. We don't have as much aluminum wiring around here as some areas, which is good, depending on the age of the house. And a lot of them upgraded. But we look for aluminum wiring, and I've always mentioned yes or no. And then the other thing is the amperage, the main breaker. And if it's a 70 amp, you can get insurance now on a primary residence still, as far as I know. The last
Yeah, I think there's one or two companies out there that
still buy it. Yeah, but it would have to be a primary. But also for fire safety. Or do we have a lot of double taps in there? Do we have...
What's a double tap, Jamie?
Double tap is each breaker should be running only one circuit.
Okay.
And you'll know right away when I walk in and the box is full. I'm quite sure there's double taps in there. Because when there's no room, they'll take two circuits and put it on one breaker.
Gotcha.
Is it going to start a fire immediately? No, because in about 75% of the houses I go to, I see that. But the buyer should be aware.
For sure.
If they want to add a hot tub anytime they need to add something, get that cleaned up. You know, it's a simple fix.
And after the buyer buys the property, if they do have a question, are they able to get in contact with you if there's just something, you know, maybe they're a first-time home buyer and yes. there's something they just don't understand? Is that like a service that you offer?
It is for me. I know a lot of home inspectors don't want to do that, but I think it's an important part of the process. And for me, I say if you have any questions after, even after you move in, because sometimes I'll do that home inspection. They won't move in for 3 months, depending on the closing date. Well, that house looks totally different to them. They forgot half the stuff, and then they read the report, they don't understand. Just give me a call. It takes sometimes 3 minutes to clear up an issue. So I think it's important for the home inspector. And the poor realtor, they've moved on to other houses and everything. I can bring up the reports.
Yeah.
I can look at it. So I say, don't bother anyone else, and I'm fine. Give me a call. Give me 1 minute to pull up the report, and we'll go over it again. So I think it's important, and it gives them that peace of mind. That's part of our assist, comfort, protect. They have to feel comfortable that even when they move, like, it isn't the last day. Goodbye after the walkthrough, and boy, I hope I figure everything out.
Right.
We're there as a service. You hired us as a service. And if they need questions after, I have no problem with that.
I know I always, like when I'm putting a deal together, I always write in a home inspection.
Yeah.
What sort of timelines does a client need to get a hold of you? And what's your booking time out is a question.
It's time of year. So obviously right now it's slower. We have high interest rates and it's the time of year before Christmas. And so it's slow time. Right now you can call me and this week I'll get you in. Whereas if it's middle of summer, it can be a battle getting a home inspector. You can become very busy. For me, being in rural, I know in the city, lots of guys can do 2 and sometimes 3 a day because they're not driving anywhere.
And you cover a lot of miles.
I cover a lot of miles because of where we are.
Yeah.
And so, you know, doing 2 a day can be tough. So all of a sudden, if I have 8 and 9 inspections in a week, I'm booked. And what we do, a lot of us, if we have to do it in the weekend, we'll do it. But really, you should minimum a week.
Okay.
You should try to book that in because it's not also getting me to come out. It's getting me to come out when fits everyone's schedule.
Right.
Which is the realtors and the client for the walkthrough and the seller preparing the house for the inspection.
Right.
So it's not just me being available.
Yeah.
Giving that lead time gets everyone on the same page and helps for an easy transition.
Right.
So is there anything that we haven't touched on that you want to elaborate on, or is there anything that you want to ask us from your point of view?
Do you know, I think when you're looking for a home inspector, there's a few things. Number one, you have to get a good realtor, because the realtors know the good home inspectors, and they'll set you up with them. Number two is the home inspector. The good ones are all deal with the software that we have. There's different types, but it's a checklist on my phone that you really can't mess up. You have to go through it, and all the licensed guys have that, and that produces that report. That's so it's very in detail. It's an important part of the home inspection. Another thing is thermal imaging. We haven't talked about.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's important for thermal imaging.
Tell us what thermal imaging is.
So thermal imaging sees through walls. It's a new technology that actually hooks up to my phone. Mine is, or you can have a handheld unit. And it will show you temperatures. It will show you when I shoot it against a wall or a ceiling, I'm looking for insulation that's missing. So when I go in an attic, we're not allowed to walk around in an attic.
Okay.
So all we can do is take pictures. You'll never see in every corner.
Right.
But my thermal imaging will. I can go up and see a lot of times in the rural areas, you'll see against the wall where the first foot, it's cold. It's because the wind blew through the soffit and blew the blown-in insulation. Or I've seen a full square missing with a fiberglass bat flipped over. Sorry. And so we would never see that without thermal imaging.
Right.
I also use it for moisture. Is there toilet leaks? Is there... I can see right away if it's leaking out of the toilet. I can see moisture in the basement.
Oh, wow.
And that tool, I think, should be a tool that every home inspector has now. It's just eyes that you can't have. And even little spots... you know, you move into that house and there's a cold spot, that one bedroom, usually with two outside walls, it's cold. Why is it cold? My thermal imaging, I can walk in the room and say, well, that's why it's cold. It's missing insulation. All you have to do is go push it back.
And bath It'll flip be over or whatever, yeah.
That doesn't mean you shouldn't buy a house, it doesn't mean, but it's information that's critical. If the kid's room is cold,
right.
You know, that's information you can't see. I also shoot the electrical panel for hotspots.
Okay.
Just to see if it's, you know, everything's okay there too. I think it's an important part.
And I know for myself, I do a lot of acreages. So if somebody is buying an acreage, are you looking just at the house or do you look at any outbuildings that are on there as well?
That is the question you need to ask before you even go out for the home inspection. I've been to some of Nicole's where there's eight outbuildings and they're huge. Like that one with the big, I liked it. They had the dance floor up top and everything. And so to me, we better look at that. I felt it was a usable space. It needed some electrical work. It needed, so that has to be, the home inspector has to be informed before he goes, because that's all part of cost too.
Right.
If I'm going out and doing eight outbuildings, that's more than just the house.
Right.
Or if it's got three garages or whatever.
Right.
So that has to be done. And that's why usually I end up talking to the client before I go out for the home inspection. We say, what are we doing? What are you interested in? Some of them say, I don't care about that barn. And also the other thing is insurance. If they're not insuring the outbuildings, they don't need to be inspected.
Right.
But if they're insuring it, then they probably should be inspected. So those are some of the things you have to, especially with those acreages, there can be a lot of outbuildings. It has to be, I need to be informed exactly what I should be inspecting before I ever get out there.
Right, right. I know we've talked to some other industry professionals, and it's about the billable hours, right? So if you're saying that you're allotting 3 or 4 hours, it's being respectful of your time and completing that job in a timely fashion versus trying to skim coat eight buildings in 3 hours doesn't work because
you can't do it. And I hate being rushed.
Right.
For the walkthrough, everyone's showing up, but I'm not done.
Right.
And I like to be done and prepared and look through it before anyone comes for the walkthrough. So it is important to know what I'm, even if it has a garage or not, you know, that's part of the cost. But it's important because I hate being rushed. You feel like you missed something.
Yeah.
So you want to allot the proper time for that inspection so that, and the other thing is people don't realize in that cost, drive time.
Right.
Gas is not free anymore. So I've had no problem with that being a rural inspector. Everyone understands, I said, because I don't charge mileage.
Oh, you don't? Okay, I didn't realize that.
For mileage, in my opinion. I charge my gas. Yeah. I just make sure I cover my gas. So I'm not one charging mileage because at government rate, nobody can afford a home inspection,
Right.
The way I go. But everyone's been real good about that. So it's more, how many buildings? How long is it going to take? Gas mileage? There's your price.
So the home inspection is done. How much time do I have to allot to take off? Like, how long should I be on site? How long does a walkthrough take to go through these 50 pages that you're saying? Like, do you flip through all 50 pages, or how does that work?
Oh, no. That is more for information. That's more protect your butt information. The walkthrough, oh boy, you guys are going to laugh at me now, because it usually should be 20 minutes to a half an hour, but some of us can be long-winded. I really enjoy the walkthrough, and I like informing the client, and if the client is interested, I know you guys are going, Jamie, wrap it up, but...
No.
Actually, you guys don't, but I really enjoy the walkthrough, and it, 20 minutes to a half an hour would be... 20 minutes would be a minimum walkthrough on a normal house. And more, because they have questions too. And here's another good point about that. Do you know how many times I hear that the most they've ever seen the house is during our walkthrough? Because even during a showing, they don't have that time. There's more time, they spend more time in the house seeing that house, that purchase, during the walkthrough.
Yeah.
Then they have the whole time. And I hear that a lot, and that's important. So now they're actually looking at things, and not to find bad things, to inform them. So when they go home, they sleep good at night. I like this house.
Right.
So I think it's all part of that process from the realtor. And the other thing is, we're the last person. It's the realtor and the mortgage lender and mortgage broker and the lawyer. And then comes us.
Right.
So when we're done that walkthrough, the client should feel good, or I don't want the house either way.
Right.
But should go home with a peace of mind saying, I have made an informed decision on this investment.
So if someone wants to reach you to have a home inspection, what's the best way to get a hold of you? Your website?
So, yeah, we have a website, buyerschoice.com. And if you Google Jamie Fiesel, I'll come up along with my old hockey stuff. And that's the other thing. Home inspectors come with all kinds of backgrounds. I used to be a professional hockey player and got into the business because I built my house out here and wanted to live at the lake. And I didn't want to drive around for hockey anymore. And my brother gave me this option. I joined him. And then when I got the license, had to do the whole 400 hours online, I thought, wow, I like this. I like what I do. I give a service to the clients. They feel good about it after. So I really enjoy it. So they can Google. They can usually, let's be honest, most of the realtors we work with have their list of good home inspectors, and I've been referred to many times from the real estate office. And if not, you can call me directly. And a lot of times they phone around for quotes and just to feel you out and who you are. And I think that's an important part of the process as well. So.
Right.
Awesome. Well, we appreciate you coming in today and just informing some buyers and sellers of the process of a home inspection.
Absolutely. I can't stress a home inspection enough. And, there is a lot of people out there shopping price. But same thing, ask the questions, what they're getting for those, what they're getting for that price and what's the value in that.
I feel if I didn't save them the money they spent on me,
yeah.
I didn't do a regular inspection. I think it's almost impossible not to,
yeah.
just through the information to the home inspection.
Absolutely. Well, Jamie, I appreciate you coming in today and giving us your time. And, again, thanks. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having me out. Great working with you guys.
Take care, Jamie.
Thanks, Jamie.
Thank you for tuning in to Authentic Realty's podcast. Follow, review, and share this episode to spread the knowledge. To connect with your favorite local realtors, call 306-695-HOME.